Maryland's News Now. On the only station that matters, WBAL.com.
He will not be treated as an enemy combatant. We will prosecute this terrorist through our civilian system of justice. Under U.S. law, United States citizens cannot be tried in military commissions. And it is important to remember that since 9/11, we have used the federal court system to convict and incarcerate hundreds of terrorists. The effective use of the criminal justice system has resulted in the interrogation, conviction, and detention of both U.S. citizens and non-citizens for acts of terrorism committed inside the United States and around the world.
That was White House spokesperson Jay Carney this afternoon. We all know the story. It was 1 week ago today that two bombs at the Boston Marathon killed three people and wounded dozens. Today, the surviving suspect, the younger brother, was charged with conspiring to use a weapon of mass destruction against persons and property, resulting in death. And the charge carries a possible death sentence. Ken Klukowski is a fellow and senior legal analyst for the American Civil Rights Union, and he joins us now to talk about the government strategy. Ken, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Mary Beth.
First of all, I don't know if many people understand the nuances or the differences between trying this suspect in federal court as opposed to treating him as an enemy combatant, which I guess would mean a military court.
Well, because in you're right. I've been fielding a lot of questions over the past couple of days on that. The Constitution sets up a two-part system along these lines. The Constitution draws a bright line between national security and law enforcement. National security is foreign policy. It is military. It is under the President of the United States through the military command. There's very little involvement for courts. It's all predicated on dealing with foreign threats, and it errs on the side of keeping us safe, keeping the nation safe, and keeping our citizens safe. All of that is separate from what most of your listeners are familiar with, and that is the court system, the civilian system. That is domestic policy, not foreign, and it's what the whole Bill of Rights, or at least I don't want to say the whole Bill of Rights, it's what four amendments of the 10 amendments in the Bill of Rights are all structured around, and it's all on the idea it's to err on the side of letting a guilty man go free rather than condemning an innocent man. And for most situations, we know which side of the line something falls on. If you've got a gun and you're shooting at a U.S. soldier on a battlefield in some foreign country, well, that's clearly on the national security side of the line. If the police catch you carrying a TV out of someone's house in the middle of the night and they charge you with theft, obviously that's on the domestic side of the equation. We're trying to figure out, under these unusual facts, which side of the line this person is on. Is this actually an agent of a foreign terrorist organization, or is this instead a citizen who has become a radicalized homegrown terrorist and is just carrying out criminal acts, heinous acts, acts of murder, acts that deserve the death penalty, but nonetheless that he is properly understood to be a criminal defendant?
Ken, I would imagine the controversy arises for the people who want him tried as an enemy combatant is that he will now have certain rights in the civilian system.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Under the Fourth Amendment, you have a right to be free of unreasonable searches and seizures, to have a search warrant, you need probable cause, etc. Under the Fifth Amendment, the right against self-incrimination, the right that you have to be indicted by a grand jury before you can be made to stand trial for a felony, which he was just indicted earlier today. The Sixth Amendment right to a jury trial, that you can't be convicted unless the jury is unanimous, that every element of the crime has to be proven to the jury beyond a reasonable doubt, and the Eighth Amendment protections against cruel or unusual punishment. That full range of protections, and there are many secondary rights tied up in that as well, those all come through the Constitution's Article 3 federal court system.
Ken, I heard many people today after these charges just came down, it's relatively new news, many people saying that they were very confident in the federal system. They were very confident that this Tsarnaev could be tried to the full extent of the law. Where do you come down on this? Or do
I believe that either way, this guy, under either system, this guy would get the death penalty. Evidently, we have on a high-grade, good-resolution video, we have the video of him planting the bomb. That bomb has resulted in death. So I think it looks like we are over amassing a mountain of overwhelming evidence that I think should be able to persuade any jury beyond a reasonable doubt that this man has committed a capital crime and therefore can be subject to the death penalty.
All right, Ken Klukowski, senior legal analyst for the American Civil Rights Union. We appreciate you joining us.
Thanks for having me.